change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Will. Good evening, everyone. Lovely to see you all tonight. My message is called Unmix Your Mind. And tonight, I want us to think about thinking. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We're just looking at the one verse this evening. So please do have a look at it in your Bibles, your iPads, your tablets, if you would like to follow along. Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The word Paul uses here for finally can be translated in addition to or one last thing. And so it's an apt verse for us to look at as we conclude our series looking at Paul's letter to the Philippian church this evening. Finally. And so this verse in many ways wraps up the series of thoughts and ideas that Paul has been writing about in his letter to the Philippians. So let's have a quick review of some of the highlights of what Paul has been saying to the church in Philippi. If I could have my next slide, please. Paul says in chapter 1, verse 9, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." What a wonderful prayer that Paul prays over the Philippian church. In chapter 2, verse 5, Paul says this, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." And then he goes on to share that wonderful poem that we looked at a few weeks ago that speaks of the humility of Jesus. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 15, that the Philippians are to shine in the world like stars in the sky. What an awesome calling that is for us as the church, to shine in the world like stars in the sky. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 10, "I want to know Christ," that the one thing he desires above all things is to know Christ. And Paul says in chapter 4, verse 6, we were thinking about this only last weekend, so I'm hoping at least some of you will remember this one. Paul says in chapter 4, verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything." Do not be anxious about anything. What a wonderful thought that is. And it's almost in this verse that we're looking at this evening, as if Paul wants to say, if we want to put into practice the contents of this letter, we are going to need to learn to think differently. We're going to be thinking about our thought life tonight. Next slide, please. So in this pie chart is what I want to think about. This is what on a good day I wish I thought about. I wish I spent my days thinking about Jesus. I was at a talk once by Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he said just casually and matter-of-factly that he gets up at 5 a.m. and spends 2 hours contemplating Christ. And the problem for me was, I don't know what it means to contemplate Christ, and I don't even know what 5 a.m. means. So that shows, if nothing else, I'm certainly not Archbishop of Canterbury material, which may not come as a surprise to many of you. Thank you for laughing. Okay, I wish I spent my days thinking about the pastoral needs of the church. I know that you guys, who I love so dearly, all have your own problems and burdens and challenges that you face. I wish I spent my days thinking about you and your needs. Or what about theology, sound doctrine? Working on understanding more of the beauty of the gospel and the Christian faith. I want to think about evangelism. I want to always be thinking, what's my next opportunity to share the good news of Jesus wherever I am? I want to be someone who's thinking, who's dwelling on Holy Scripture as I read it day by day and I immerse myself in the beauty of God's Word, the Bible. Next slide, please. This is what I actually think about. It's pretty much an equal split between food, what I'm having for my next meal, and Arsenal Football Club. More particularly, why Arsene Wenger has still failed to adequately replace Patrick Vieira with another capable holding midfielder. These are the two things that I spend my days dwelling on. I wonder if you made a pie chart of your thought life. What would that look like to you? What are you spending your time and your days and your hours and your minutes thinking about? This word think in the Greek is this wonderful word, legizomai. Next slide, please. And this word, legizomai, can mean to think, ponder, dwell, reflect, muse, ruminate, imagine, daydream, focus on, chew on, mull over, and meditate. What comes to your mind as you think about how you're doing these things in your own mind? This word at the end, meditate, is particularly interesting and relevant for us tonight. Because while the word legizomai is Greek, the thought behind it is very much a Jewish Hebraic concept. Paul, remember, is a good Jewish boy. And there's a big difference between Eastern thought and meditation and Jewish or indeed Christian thought and meditation. You see, in the Greek world, Stoic philosophy was a big deal. And the Greek philosophy, the thinking at the time, was all about trying to empty your mind, to free your mind of the attachments to this fallen material universe. Whereas for Paul, who's steeped in Jewish thinking and theology, thinking and meditation isn't a sort of negative, defensive detachment from the world, but it's actually about filling our minds with the good things of God. So as we think about what we're going to think about, I want us to think about what Paul calls the Philippian church to fill their minds with. And I want to encourage us tonight that however we think at the moment, whatever the things are that dominate our minds and our thought lives, I want to encourage you that you can change the way you think. And in case you don't believe me, and maybe you're here tonight and you don't do the God stuff, and you're not actually that interested in the wisdom of Paul and what he's got to say to the Philippians, I want you to watch this video that the gallery are going to queue now, ready to play. And in this film is made by the by a group of basically quite literally brain surgeons, and they're experts in the mind and psychology and the brain. And it's really interesting as the gallery prepares this film ready to play. That do you see? I'm now beginning to wing it and just completely just ramble. Plasticity. You can see why I lent on a film to talk about that rather than try it myself. Isn't it amazing that the most latest current scientific research and study is just beginning to catch up with what Paul was trying to say 2,000 years ago when he spoke of the gospel in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, therefore, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And the absolute latest science begins to suggest that we've been created, or we are, people with minds, with brains, that can literally be renewed. Isn't that kind of cool? So I want to encourage you tonight that however you think at the moment, God and science suggests you can change the way you think. So how does Paul want us to think as disciples of Jesus? What are the things that Paul wants us to fill our minds with? Firstly, Paul says, whatever is true. This word true means that which corresponds to reality. And I think this thought of Paul's flows very naturally out of what we were looking at last Sunday when Steve was speaking to us about finding freedom from anxiety. You see, so much of what makes us anxious or what we find ourselves worrying about is about things that aren't necessarily based on concrete reality as the world is or our life is today. Often, I don't know about you, but I find myself worrying about hypotheticals and about things that may or may not happen. I find myself anxious about the what ifs or the if onlys. I don't know if you can resonate with that. One of my very few responsibilities in the home is I am the last one at night who does the locking up before bedtime. It's one of the few jobs I have. We split the chores in our home straight down the middle, 90-10. I am not the 90, you will be unsurprised to hear, and Alison will tell you I'm probably being generous, giving myself a 10. But anyway, so I'm responsible for locking up before bed. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but often I'll lock up, I'll go to bed, I'll just be sort of drifting off. I'll have finished with Netflix, I mean evening prayer, and I'll just be heading off into a steady slumber. And the thought will cross my mind, what if I haven't locked up downstairs? Any of you ever had that before? And so I think about it for a few minutes. I think I've definitely locked up. Maybe I didn't lock up. Almost certainly haven't locked up after 5 minutes of thinking about it. So I'll head downstairs. I'll check the back door. And of course, sure enough, I've locked up. I had nothing to worry about. I was worrying about a hypothetical, something that wasn't actually the case. Paul wants us to reflect on what is true. So what are our sources of truth? I want to think about what our sources of truth and also what are the sources of lies. Well, the big thing to say, hopefully this is obvious, is that God is the source of all truth. So we can access truth through scripture. Reading the Bible is the best way for us to day by day fill our minds with the truth of God's self-revelation in his word, the Bible. But not only that, as Christians, and I think this is so cool, we are called not to just believe in truth as an abstract body of knowledge or just information. Jesus Christ is the one who says, I am the truth. I am the truth. And so each one of us, if we want more truth in our life, we have the opportunity to grow in a relationship with Jesus, the one who is the personification and the embodiment of truth. We can also access truth through the church. Believe it or not, the church is actually a great opportunity for us to fill our minds with the truth that comes from God. It's kind of why we bother with this whole sermon bit of the service. I know some of us would just love the band to play right through, but the idea of the talky little bit is that we actually hear some truth, and I know there's some truth in the lyrics of the songs as well. But the idea is that in community together, we're exposed to the truth. In our connect groups, in our friendships, we build one another up in the truth. Also, the wider world, the word that Paul uses, whatever is true, is very inclusive, open, expansive. Paul's encouraging the Philippians to look for the truth in the world wherever they see it, wherever the goodness of God is seen in creation and the wider world. So conversely, the Bible's very clear that Satan is the father of lies. Satan loves to tempt us. You'll remember his first words were, Eve, did God really say, do not eat of the fruit of the tree? Satan loves to tempt us. Satan loves to encourage us to continue on in a sense of shame. If you're here tonight and you feel ashamed, then I can almost guarantee that the enemy is pleased about that and God wants to do something about that. The enemy, Satan, he loves to steal our joy. Have you ever had the experience of a real spiritual high, and then the next day you get back from that conference or that great worship event and you couldn't feel lower than you do the next day? Satan loves to steal our joy. Satan loves to discourage us. I have to be honest with you, I don't want to overshare. Last couple of weeks, I've kind of felt a little bit discouraged. Who'd have thought it? You go into church leadership and you get criticized. I don't know if that's a surprise to anyone. I'm kind of learning it the hard way. And I felt really discouraged. And so I'm having to learn to fill my mind, not allow the discouragement that I'm facing to overwhelm me, but to allow God to speak to me and to fill my mind with his truth. Satan loves to question our identity as sons and daughters of God? Is there anything you are thinking of that is untrue that you need to intentionally stop thinking about? Paul wants the Philippians to think about whatever is noble. This word noble means behavior befitting of nobility, aristocracy, or royalty. I like to follow politics. I like to watch Prime Minister's Question Time. I don't know if you do. Wonderful way to spend a Tuesday afternoon. And often when I'm watching Prime Minister's Question Time, I'm shocked at the behaviour that you see in the House of Commons. I don't know if you've watched it and you agree with this. Often when Theresa May, she stands up to the dispatch box, all you can hear is just an overwhelming cacophony of jeers and boos and hissing and mocking and insults. And it's actually behaviour that the primary school teachers amongst us would not tolerate in their classroom. And the reason we find it so appalling is that we think this is conduct and behaviour unbecoming of people that should be setting an example and leading the way in society. But it's interesting that we expect so much from our members of parliament, or certainly I do. But Paul, just a little bit earlier in chapter 3, verse 20, has encouraged the Philippian church to see their identity as citizens of heaven. So members of parliament versus a citizen of heaven, I know which one I'd rather be, and I know in which camp the standard should perhaps be higher. You see, we are heirs of Christ the King. We are royalty. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And so Paul wants us to think accordingly. Think up to the standard to which we have attained. Alison and I, when we watch programs, we often will ask each other, this was particularly true while watching The Crown, I think I ask this almost every episode, I'll often say to Alison, do you think the Queen would watch this? I don't know if you've ever asked that question or if it's just me. Do you think the Queen would bother watching this? And that's the sort of high standard I seek to attain to when I think about what I watch. But it's interesting, isn't it? We're royalty. I wonder what we're filling our minds with if we're watching things that the Queen would think suitable to watch. I wonder if you think about the TV programs you watch, the stuff you're looking at on the internet, maybe the things that you're reading, the news that you're consuming, the conversations that you're having with your friends or your colleagues at work. I wonder if you're thinking and behaving like nobility, or if ignoble might be a word to describe how you think and what you're filling your mind with. Paul says, whatever is right. This word for right is diakonos. It's Greek for righteousness or justice. And it's interesting that Paul says, think about whatever is right, not whatever seemed okay to you at the time. See, the Bible is very clear that there's such a thing as right and such a thing as wrong. And in our contemporary, postmodern, liberal society, we're very much prone to what you might call moral relativism. The idea, the mantra being, do as you please as long as you hurt no one. But the Bible is very clear, because God is a holy and morally perfect God, that there is such a thing as right and wrong. Before I did the whole ordained ministry thing, I was a youth minister for a few years, and one of the most common questions young people would ask me would be this: how far is too far? How far is too far? And you, because you've all been 15 once, you already know exactly what that question refers to. How far is too far? But as I've realized now that I have the pleasure of working with grown-ups, actual adults like you guys, that actually sometimes we still ask that same question. How far is too far? How far is too far when it comes with a relationship with someone? How far is too far when it comes to gossip? Can I get away with saying that? Is that gossip yet? How far is too far when it comes to refusing to take a day of rest each week? Can I still crack out a few more hours of work on my Sabbath? But we're called not to think about things that are wrong. And in our culture of moral relativism, it's easy for us to be confused in our own minds about what is right and what is wrong. I wonder if there are any ways in which in your mind you are confused about what is right and wrong. I wonder if you're doing something that if you thought it through, you would very quickly realize, actually, that's not right. The Bible calls us to think about how we can live and behave rightly in the world. The Bible calls us to fill our minds with thinking about how God has called us to live rightly, to play our part in building God's kingdom in the world. And God's called each one of us to do something good and right in the world. Paul says, whatever is pure. This Greek word hagnos means that which is not mixed or adulterated with any other substances. Now, for the purpose of this illustration, I want you to think that this glass container is your mind. Your mind is the container for your thoughts. Paul wants us to think about whatever is pure. And so we as Christians, as disciples, followers of Jesus, we know that God wants us to fill our minds with that which is true. So we know that we want to spend a little bit of time each day praying, meeting with Jesus, who is the truth in person. We know that we want to spend a bit of time reading our Bible. So we spend 10 minutes a day reading our Bible. I hope that's not wildly optimistic. We spend a bit of time each day reading our Bible. But we also know, don't we, that there are probably lies that we're willingly believe, that there are things that perhaps Satan has said over us, or indeed people in our lives, that things that they've said over us that are lies that we've chosen to believe, or perhaps we find ourselves believing despite not wanting to. We know that God wants us to fill our minds with thoughts that are noble, that are fitting of our royal status as sons and daughters of the living God. But I wonder, as we think about what we've been filling our minds with, if we've been filling our minds with things that we wouldn't like to think the Queen thinks about. When we think about what we've been watching on TV, or the things we've been viewing on the internet, or the conversations we've been having. And we know that God wants us to fill our minds with things that are right. To think about how we are called to play our part in building God's kingdom. We're called to fill our minds with things that are right. But if we're being honest, many of us are a little bit confused about what's right and what's wrong. As I speak, you're thinking about things in your life where you're kidding yourself that it's okay. Where things that you know aren't right, you've decided that you're happy to live in the grey. And so what happens is we mix our minds. We fill our minds with things that God would want us to fill our minds with. Things that are true, things that are noble, things that are right, things that are pure, things that are admirable, things that are lovely, things that are excellent, things that are praiseworthy. But actually, our minds are mixed this evening. I wonder, as we come to respond to the Lord tonight, how it is that we need to come before him and ask the Lord to unmix our minds. I wonder, what are the things that we think of that aren't right, that aren't true, that aren't pure, that aren't noble, that we need to say sorry about before the Lord, to repent, to ask God to forgive us of, to help free us from those patterns of thoughts that may be destructive in our lives, in our minds. And I wonder this evening how you want to ask God to fill your mind with more of the truth, with more of what's good, more of what's lovely and admirable and excellent or praiseworthy. And as the band come up, when Paul says he wants us to think about what is excellent or praiseworthy, do you know what? There's only one thing in all of the world, in all of the universe, that's excellent and praiseworthy, and that is Jesus Christ. That's the living God. And so I wonder for us, as we think about our minds and our thought lives, if what we spend our time thinking about leads naturally into the worship of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Or if what we're thinking about is actually a distraction that draws us away from Jesus. Why don't we spend a moment, perhaps just in quiet reflection, perhaps something that you've heard this evening has spoken to you. Perhaps God's been giving you a nudge in all sorts of different ways. I want us to have a moment as we sing our next song to respond to God, to offer our minds to God, to ask God to fill our minds with what he would fill our minds with. And then in a moment, Emma, one of our mission partners, is going to come up after this song and help to lead us as we continue to respond to God. So why don't you maybe stay seated for a moment? Let's spend some time in prayer and reflection. And then we're going to sing one more song, and then Emma will lead us.